So we got the best guy to explain everything to us of what's going on in the National League, and that is Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says, Mark, how are you today?
Good. I have a Tim Kirchen impersonation, but I don't feel comfortable despite getting it out at this point.
Okay. All right. You know, my voice changes every once in a while, especially when I try to eat while I'm talking.
Yep.
All right. Let's start with the matchup today with Velasquez and Samardzija. They did match up in Philadelphia. You may have even been there to see that one. What do you think about today, and what do the numbers tell you?
Well, Vince Velasquez is pitching a lot better of late. My colleague actually dug this up, shout out to him, that he's relying on his high fastball a lot more, and that's been like a trendy thing this year, right? Throw the high fastball to cut off the uppercut swing. And in his last couple of starts, he's done that. He's done that better. He's been more the pitcher, I think, that you would hope that he would be from a Philadelphia perspective. Sharks up and down, I think, as we've seen. Last time against Philly, he threw a lot of cutters. When he did, they seemed to work. I think he needs something beyond that to be working for him. Because it's a pretty good Philadelphia lineup. I think this is a toss-up game. You know that I always pick the Giants to win. But I think they're challenged at this point in the season.
Mark, I want to ask you about Bryce Harper. And the talk throughout the offseason as the Giants pursued him in free agency was, could his power play at Oracle Park, at the most pitcher-friendly park in all of baseball? And last night we saw him hit a 420-foot home run, a 453-foot home run into the water in McCovey Cove. And I'm wondering, was last night really a sign of what Giants fans could have expected if he signed in San Francisco? Or were those home runs more outliers where he just got great pitches and demolished them and maybe his numbers would have regressed a little bit at Oracle Park this year?
I'm of the belief that he would have been pretty good there. If having watched him every year in the National League East pretty frequently, he hits bombs a lot. He doesn't hit a lot of just got over the fences. And I would have felt pretty good that his home run total would have been maybe a little bit down, but close to what it typically would be. I thought yesterday was something in line with what it could have been, I suppose.
Boy, Mark Simon with us, Sports Info Solutions. Mark, I know you cover the Mets, and you've been a Met fan for many, many years. What did you think of last night? And I want to bring up Sean Doolittle. And I talked about him 95% of the time, his fastball right up in the middle of the zone, high up there, and he paid for it last night. What about the Nats and the bullpen and the Mets and their big win last night?
Yeah, that was completely unexpected. Trey Turner had this great score on a wild pitch in the top of the ninth inning to get an insurance run to make it 6-3. And with Doolittle, you figure a three-run lead and the game's over. The Mets have a lot of guys that can handle the fastball pretty well. Between Frazier, who hit the tying home run, Alonso certainly, J.D. Davis definitely as well. Conforto has been hitting like the Conforto of superstardom as opposed to the Conforto of average and ordinary. It was pretty crazy. You don't typically come back from three down in the bottom of the ninth. I was trying to look up other games. There's a famous game from 1980 that was actually against the Giants, which is known as the Pete Henderson game, where the Mets were trailing 6-2 and he had a game-winning home run. But you don't typically get that kind of offensive explosion. But I think it's indicative of what the Giants experienced a couple of weeks ago and what the Mets are experiencing now. They just don't feel like they're going to lose at this point.
We're chatting with Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions out here at the Public House ahead of Giants-Phillies at Oracle Park. Mark, Joe Panik, a beloved Giant for so many fans here, signs with the New York Mets. He's still got elite contact skills, but we've seen the regression in batting average. We've seen the slugging percentage dip to the bottom of the league. And I'm wondering, what do you think is possible for him at Citi Field? What can New York Mets fans expect out of Joe Panik over the final 2 months of the season if he starts to get things going here?
So I did a little project yesterday just to kind of see for myself, and I went back and watched. We have a thing that allows us to look at, like, the home run probability of any ball that a batter hits. And Joe Panik only hit the three home runs this year, but by our calculations, he probably should have had 7 or 8. He hit some balls to the right field corner that didn't go, that might go at Citi. He hit a ball or two to the right center field gap that probably will go out of some of the NL East parks. That don't go out of the bigger parts of the NL West. I think you would expect that his offense will improve a little bit and that he's not really a 235 hitter. He's probably something closer to a 250 or a 260. They don't need him to be great because he's probably going to be hitting eighth for them for the most part. They just need him to give tough at-bats late in games. I compared it yesterday. I said, just give Britt Gardner like at-bats at the end of games for anyone who's seen him with the Yankees, and they should be fine. If he can be Joe Panic of a couple of years ago for 6 weeks, it's a great pickup for them.
Well, look at last night in baseball. You got Jansen, two-run homer to Carson Kelly in the ninth inning. It eventually cost the Dodgers the game in a big brouhaha that ends up there. Josh Hader, straight fastball. People are tattooing this guy. Home run. Goodbye. You've got, of course, Doolittle, who I say just straight fastball all the time. What's going on? I mean, here we are in August. Closers, are they tired? Or are they just going back to the heat? And if you miss upstairs, the ball's gone.
I think you're seeing the volatility of the closer at work. That it right now, it's almost impossible to be a really good closer for more than 3 years. And I guess in Hader's case, he had this amazing year last year, and now it's home runs all over the place. You just expend as much as you have to expend to be a 35-40 save guy or to be a multi-inning reliever in the day and age where hitters can crush everything. Takes a lot. And I guess in the summer months with the ball carrying, the fastballs are going to go out. And that's why Mariano Rivera is in the Hall of Fame. And I guess that's why Lee Smith is in the Hall of Fame. And that's why there might not be too many relievers going into the Hall of Fame anytime soon, because it's such a difficult position over the course of the season. That's what I would say it is. Like, Kenley Jansen, it was fantastic, but there's an expiration date on something like that. And I think he hasn't necessarily hit it, but he might be nearing it.
You know, Mark, one of the big trends that we saw at the trade deadline were teams making incremental additions in their bullpens. And I'm wondering, now that it's August, as the calendar moves on and we look toward the playoff race, what teams' bullpens are best equipped to handle the wild card race and handle the postseason? Who can give the Dodgers a threat based on the relief pitching that they have?
I was going to say none of them.
Maybe the answer.
The answer is really, it seems to be the Cleveland Indians, because the Indians' bullpen ERA, I think, is about half a run better than any other team. So whatever they're doing in that place with the big left field fence and everything, that seems to be it. In the National League, like, you look at the Braves, they got Shane Green thinking that Duke's going to be the closer, and he's had a couple of bad outings. Now they're going to give it to Melanson. The Cardinals lost Jordan Hicks, so they're relying on Carlos Martinez and Andrew Miller, who's been very inconsistent this year. Milwaukee's relying on Hader, and then their next best reliever has an ERA that's like two runs higher than his. The Dodgers have a lot of guys. They don't have a lot of successful guys. The Mets have had some hot ones. Seth Lugo's been fantastic for them. The Mets bullpen right now is equipped to be all right. They were fortunate in a way that Justin Wilson got hurt, and now he comes back and he's better. But I think the answer to your question is essentially it could be the Giants, or it was the Giants of like 3 weeks ago when they had Dyson and all the other guys.
Boy, fun. All right, one last question for Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark has a lot of good things, a podcast and a lot of things. You should follow him on Twitter. Boy, how come the Giants can't win at home? Come on, you're not going anywhere unless you can win here.
That's right, 26-32 this year. If you look at Belt, Crawford, and Longoria, they are hitting a combined, I think it's 202. And I think if you had said before the season started, were they going to hit 202, you would have gotten pretty good odds that they weren't. So that's one thing. The other thing is that, this is throughout the entire lineup, you can't hit the ball out of the park. And it's not equipped to hit the ball out of the park there. The home run, they're hitting one home run for every, like, 16 fly balls that they hit, or the major league average is, like, it's 1 out of 12. Major league average is, like, half that. It's almost like they're psyched out by the park. Like, Brandon Belt seems kind of psyched out at home. Longoria seems psyched out at home. And they need to figure that out, whether it be for this year or for next year. And for next year, that might be moving the fences there.
Well, very good insight. That was, I think that's the best answer I got the whole day. I didn't realize they were hitting that low at home for the big boys. And Kerry brought it up, and Carmen did too. You got to get something out of the core at some point. Mark, thanks so much, as always. I look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you.
You got it.
All right, that is Mark A. Simon Says on Twitter, Sports Info Solutions. I didn't realize the core guys at home were that bad.